أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وكذلك أعثرنا عليهم ليعلموا أن وعد الله حق وأن الساعة لا ريب فيها إذ يتنازعون بينهم أمرهم فقالوا بنوا عليهم بنيانا ربهم أعلم بهم قال الذين غلبوا على أمرهم لنتخذن عليهم مسجدا. In the previous ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke of the moment when Ashab al-Kahf, the people and the companions of the cave, awoke from their sleep after 300 years. And the discussion they had amongst themselves with regards to how long they had slept. And after that, they decided to send one of them into the city to purchase some food for them. And they cautioned the person and they reminded him that he should ensure that he finds the purest and the halal food of the city and brings it to them. Then they also warned him that, listen, you need to be discreet, you need to be very secretive. Let not anyone come to know of your identity, because they will take us to the king where we will be stoned to death or we will be forced to return to the religion of the king and the people of the city. This man goes, and he goes with the coin that they had given him, that silver coin, a coin that was used 300 years ago. So he takes that coin with him, and he goes into the city. Obviously, things might have seemed much strange to him. He's walking into the city 300 years later. Things might have seemed different to him. Nevertheless, he goes to a shopkeeper, and he wishes to purchase some food. He presents the coin to that person. And when the person sees the coin, he becomes suspicious. He realizes that this is a treasure. This is no ordinary coin. This is some unique coin. And he suspected that this person, whose name was Tamlika, one of those who slept away in the cave, his name was Tamlika, and he was the one who was sent. And he became suspicious, the shopkeeper. And he started showing the coin to others, other shopkeepers, and they suspected that he came across some treasure, and he perhaps retrieved one coin from the treasure, and now he's using the coins from the treasure to purchase items that he requires. While they were asleep in the cave, what was going on in the city? What happened in the city 300 years later? What progress was made? What change came about? The deviant and oppressive king, the Qiyanus, who wanted them arrested and who wanted them killed, he had died. And a complete transformation came into the city. The people of the city were now firm believers in Allah. They were monotheists. They were believers in At-Tawheed. There were some idol worshippers who were still found in the city and perhaps people of other religions and beliefs. But the dominant creed that was prevalent in the city at the time was that of Tawheed. They had brought Iman in Allah Azza wa Jal, and they were firm believers in Allah, including the new king, whose name was Baydusis. Baydusis, he was a righteous, pious king at that time. So that is the transformation and the change that had taken place in the city where they had lived. The shopkeepers, they decided to take him to Baydusis. Take this man, and they apprehended him, and they summoned and took him towards the king. When he came in front of the king was quite surprised and quite shocked. And at that time in his kingdom, there was the debate going on amongst the scholars and amongst the believers themselves. What was the debate? The debate was with regards to life after death. Life after death. And it became a serious debate in the city. You had people who were divided on either side. And there was this deep concern. And the king became very much concerned. And he was very much perplexed and overtaken by worry and concern that how is it that my people who are believers in Allah are divided over a fundamental aspect of,
of the deen, and that is life after death. So he could not resolve the issue, and he once went out dressed in ragged clothes, and he sat with all humility and he prayed and made dua to Allah Azza wa Jal, that, "Oh Allah, this is the situation amongst my subjects. This is the situation amongst the believers themselves. Oh Allah, you dispel this incorrect belief that there is no life after death." Subhanallah, and look how Allah answered his dua. Allah answers his dua in the form of the awakening of the people of the Kahf, Ashab al-Kahf. So when they come before the king and the king studies that coin, the king then recalls, and this is the planning of Allah Azza wa Jal, and he remembers of a tablet that is found in the public treasury, right? So they had a public treasury where treasures were kept and where all different types of valuable items were kept. In the public treasury, the Raqim was over there. We spoke of the Raqim, why they are called Ashab al-Kahf. Wal-Raqim, right? It's obvious why they call Ashab al-Kahf. And Al-Raqim means the tablet on which their names were inscribed. Now, along with their names inscribed on a particular tablet, their incident was also briefly inscribed and written down on that tablet. And that tablet was preserved in the public treasury. Now, who was responsible for writing their names down on that Raqim, on the tablet? There are two interpretations. The one interpretation, it was the King Daqyanus himself, because he wanted them to be publicly prosecuted, and he wanted them to be known and declared as infidels, and as people who had rejected the belief of their forefathers, so that in the future, if any king were to come across them, then that king will take the necessary action against them and have them killed. That is one interpretation. That's why the names were preserved and their incident was recorded as well and kept away in the public treasury. The second view is that their name was inscribed and preserved by believers who came at a later stage. There were people within the city and the community who enjoyed prominence within the society, who believed in what they had believed, but they only did not profess their faith and their iman, but they inscribed their names on this tablet in order to honor them. So the king thought of that, and he remembered of that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put that thought in his mind, that this exists in the public treasury, and when that was brought to him, he asked for it, it was presented to him, and he studied the names, and he started questioning this young man, Tamlika. He started questioning him regarding their situation and where did they come from and what really happened to them. And then the king realized, subhanallah, that these were the very same men and youngsters who 300 years ago fled from the city out of fear of oppression and being killed because of their iman and because of their beliefs. So that is the background to the ayat which we are studying this morning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now says, in ayah number 21 of Surah Kahf, وَكَذَلِكَ, Allah says, and similarly, أَعْثَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ, أَعْثَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ, we made them known to the people. So the people came to know about them, who they were, and when they existed, and what their beliefs were. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and similarly, we made them known to the people. Why? Remember the debate that was going on that time within the city and within the community with regards to life after death? Allah says, we made the people know of them, liya'lamu, so that the people may realize, anna wa'ada Allahi haqq, that the promise of Allah is true. What is the promise of Allah that is true? Wa anna sa'ata la rayba fiha, that as-sa'a, the final hour, and the day of judgment, la rayba fiha, there's absolutely no doubt in it. Obviously, when people saw this, everyone was now convinced that indeed there is life after death. They saw that after 300 years, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved the bodies of these young men, and without food, without water, without all the essentials of life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed them to live. So this was a means, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, their awakening from their sleep was a means of dispelling the doubts and the incorrect belief that people had with regards to life after death. What happened next was the king requested that he should be, he would like to meet the others. So he proposed this request to the youngster, Tamlika, and the youngster said, by all means, you may come with me. And they went out to the cave. All these facts and what I'm relating to you are based on historical accounts. So the king and a whole lot of people were amazed. I mean, subhanAllah, it was such a phenomenon. And everyone of the city, well, most of the people of the city, they joined the king, and this young man led them to the cave. Before they arrived at the cave, there are two interpretations over here. The Tamlika said to the king that, listen, don't come with me all the way to the cave, because the youngsters might get shocked and surprised that why have I come back with all these people. Let me first go and inform them what the situation is. That, guys, we were debating whether we slept for a day or part of a day. We slept for 300 years. Okay? So he comes to the cave, he informs them and tells them of the situation. Now there are two interpretations here. One interpretation is they all emerged from the cave, they met with the king honored them, and they honored the king, and there was formalities that were exchanged, and they returned back into the cave, and Allah allowed death to overtake them. They still didn't get enough sleep, so they went back to sleep. And this time they didn't wake up. Now they say, what's better than sleep? What's nicer than sleep? What's better than sleep? More sleep. That's the only thing that's better than sleep. So they went back into the cave. This is one interpretation. They went back into the cave. They went back to sleep. Allah allowed death to overtake them. They did not live too long after they woke up from their sleep. There's the one. The other interpretation is before Tamlika could get back out to the king, before he could return to the king and take his friends with him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed death to overtake them. Once they had passed away, Allah says, now there was a debate amongst the people in the community that we need to build a structure close to their cave. Let us put up a monument, a memorial, a structure in order to honor these youngsters, and so that when people come in the future, they will realize that this is the spot and the area where Ashab al-Kahf had passed away. إِذْ يَتَنَازَعُونَ بَيْنَهُمْ. Now there was a debate amongst the people. What structure do we put up here? Right? Allah says they started arguing amongst themselves. Because they were mushrikeen there, they probably wanted their structure to be built over there. They were people of other faiths and other beliefs. And they all wanted their structure, their holy structure, to be built close to the cave. So Allah says, يَتَنَازَعُونَ بَيْنَهُمْ. They disputed amongst themselves. يَتَنَازَعُونَ بَيْنَهُمْ أَمْرَهُمْ. Regarding the matter of these youngsters. فَقَالُوا. So some of them said, أُبْنُوا عَلَيْهِمْ بُنْيَانًا. فَقَالُوا أُبْنُوا عَلَيْهِمْ بُنْيَانًا. أُبْنُوا over them a structure. بُنْيَانًا. رَبُّهُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِهِمْ. Allah, your Rabb or their Rabb knows best regarding them. قَالَ الَّذِينَ غَلَبُوا عَلَى أَمْرِهِمْ. But those, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, who prevailed over their matter, who were the believers, those who prevailed over the matter, the majority of them, what did they say? لَنَتَّخِذَنَّ عَلَيْهِمْ مَسْجِدًا. We will build over them a masjid. We will build over them a masjid. And a masjid was built nearby. Now, we know Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has forbidden us clearly and categorically from taking the graves as masajid. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not ever build a masjid or a masjid-like structure over the grave. So what is allowed, when we understand from this, is you are allowed to build a masjid close to a graveyard or next to a graveyard. In many situations, in many instances, we find that you have the masjid, and close to the masjid there is a graveyard. There are people who are buried over there. That is fine. And that is what happened in this situation, in this matter. But to build a masjid structure over the grave, or a masjid-like structure over the grave, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has clearly prohibited that, because people will then perhaps enter into that structure and start prostrating to the grave, which is completely not allowed. May Allah grant us the understanding.